The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A happier, happy hour, the Monday edition, a white, wealthy, privilege, happier, happy hour. Dumb, nothing but top shelf for us this day.
Well, it's about time white, old, wealthy men get a break in this country, and we're coming out of there now. Thank you.
Well, Jeff from Sherwood claims, Dom's killing it today. Crudy, you need a drink. Maybe that would help you see the light. And then a clown emoji. What, I'm here to amuse you? A clown.
Are you amused?
Go get me a drink, spider. Someone also texted in from the 715, and I encourage the civic engagement and use of the text line. I would like to run for assembly. Can you help? Well, declaring on our text line is not how I would do it. reach out off the show and give us a little more information, who you are, you know, what your qualifications might be, and, you know, we'll give you an introductory, at least if you promise to go and collect the ballot signatures, do all the necessary work to qualify for the ballot. Well, then we'll get you on the air, probably. Never can tell, Dom. Dom does have higher standards than I like to hold.
Well, we certainly encourage civil engagement, and if you are one of those folks, we've got new maps here in the state of Wisconsin. It's a new day. You're down. You want to do it? Absolutely. We encourage folks to do that. Get your signatures. And, you know, as long as you support democracy, you know, we have very, very low bar these days.
A very low bar. 844-967-2789. Dom, when we first started the show, now some going on 13 years ago, I made an effort. I didn't want an echo chamber, and you have certainly not been that.
You're welcome.
I was looking for a contrarian, if you will, someone to push back a little bit. And when I first met you, or at least at that time, life found you with sort of libertarian sensibilities, you know, sort of a Republican that liked to smoke weed and thought everything should be legalized effectively. And, you know, I often commented that your reaction to especially foreign policy, I mean, you were right there with Mitt Romney on Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. You were losing your mind. Same time, real time, losing your mind.
Right on, man.
Very same vocabulary. I believe it's Mitt Romney. And I thought, and, you know, I've made some mistakes in life, folks, so I apologize. But I thought it'd be a good idea to bring you on the radio sort of as a counterbalance. I didn't want the echo chamber. I thought civil discourse. You and I, we give each other permission to rhetorically clobber each other. Let them have it, right?
That's absolutely acceptable. Well, we've known each other over 30 years, so yeah, we have that kind of permission.
But you've shifted on many of these topics, and you've now come to, you know, see many of the issues through the prism of Crudyism or maybe Bernie Sandersism. But you've certainly come left. You're not a libertarian overreacting to foreign policy, half a wanna Republican.
Well, my contention Benghazi was still that was an arms robbery, by the way. But that aside, no, absolutely. It's been 13 years, man. I wasn't in 13 years before that. I'm not clear I had the same opinion on the things 13 years before that. So I allow myself the opportunity to learn more and grow and change my opinion. But that's the only way, Crudy. I've also brought you along as well. You know, I'm a short guy. Like, I'm a big, big fan of self-protection, for example. I don't want to have to worry about fighting. So I am down for the Second Amendment. I did have a concealed carry, and you kind of came along a little bit on that end. So I get it. You know, we both evolve. Everyone should.
Okay. I've come like 10 degrees on one issue. One issue. No, you can change my mind with evidence and new information. If new information comes to light, I'd like to think I'm open-minded to new information. And here's the new information, Dom, that going a long way to bring to light. Yeah. Rona McDaniel, the former RNC chair. My point is, you know, you weren't exactly a lefty when I brought you onto the quote-unquote lefty airwaves, the former progressive Mike in Madison. When you and I first joined the airwaves together, Dom, people hated your ass. Yes, you're a little too conservative for him, a little too libertarian.
But I learned a lot from some of our audience, and that's okay. But you know what? Here's the thing. I was always straight up. I never lied. I always told you my opinions, and opinions can change. And as you mentioned, if facts come to light, that's what you should do, is reevaluate those things. And I've been very open about that.
What do you think about the whole idea? You know, I used to defend myself. Well, you know, how bad could I be? I got a libertarian Walker voting during the recall sidekick. You were my first, you know, political beard, if you will, Dom. I've had a few since then. I mean, a guy like Joel Clayfish, you know, Joel, raised in the Wisco, one of my favorite guys. I really do like Joel quite a bit. And we've really become friends over the course of, I mean, he's been doing radio with me since like 2017, Dom. It's been like 7 years. Gotten to know the guy, and I knew him at least as an elected before then.
Now, Joel, the husband of former Wisconsin Republican Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish.
Yes. And once or twice in my life, if someone says, you damn lefties, you know, we get accused of being lefties. Like, that's a bad thing. But, you know, in the rare moment I feel the need to defend or somehow deflect from that, you know, rhetorical fist shaking, it's usually, well, how bad could I be? You know, my partner was a libertarian Republican reacting, you know, pain in the ass. Or I got friends like Joel Clayfish. You know, I've got my Republican friends, not just liberal friends. Now, you've shifted. Joel, you know, sort of stepped away from politics. More into the hunting and the fishing, cooking and the eating these days. Joel was always into the eating part. But the hiring of the Rona McDaniel, the former RNC chair. You know, I'm all down for trying to bridges, Dom, but this one goes a bridge too far. I don't think this was a good idea. I don't think she should have been hired. NBC made a bad decision. How many former Trump people are you going to put on your payroll so you can claim you've got some insight into what the MAGA Republicans are thinking? Can't you just tune into Fox News for 15 minutes and figure it out? You like this idea. You're fine with Rona McDaniel joining
the journalism ranks. It goes back. My first thought about all that when I saw this was George Stephanopoulos, because he was, of course, Clinton's guy, right? I remember back in the day, I was like, oh, man, Stephanopoulos. Then, of course, you know, years go on, and I think he's done a good job. Of course, the industry. If you're comms, if you're in communications, it's not a great leap to go from communications for a politician to being a paid contributor for a television.
Or, well, I think cable news network. Jen Psaki bombs working on the MSNBC probably fairly gainfully these days.
And there's been lots and lots and lots of them. So, and it happens on right and left. I mean, this is not uncommon. So that aside, I do make a distinct difference, because I don't remember Stephanopoulos outright like lying to people. Now I get it. You're gonna spin things the way your party or whatever your job is gonna put it out there. Okay, I understand that. But you know, it comes down to, as I always talk about, man, character and credibility. It's one thing to say and look at it. You know, here's a situation. Look at it from this perspective. It's another thing entirely to say, well, that never happened, and we have our own alternative facts, or that's a lie, or the election was stolen. Though, I mean, there's various, and I'm making that distinction. A couple of paragraphs from the New York Times on this. In the days after the 2020 election, McDaniel repeated accusations about ballots and election machines in her home state of Michigan that state officials disputed and later debunked. She participated in a call with Trump in which she placed pressure on Wayne County canvassing officials not to certify the election results. McDaniels also kept the RNC away from Trump's increasingly audacious losses to overturn the election. Great, good job. She did not endorse his most outlandish theories, such as hacking the voting machine by foreign powers, although she appeased him in other ways, talking about voting irregularity and creating an election integrity operation within the National Committee. She was down, man. She was involved. She testified during what, the January 6th committee hearings, that the RNC, you know, they helped out. They were helping. Now, certainly the campaign took the lead, but we helped them in that role. So they were down. This is it, with regards specifically to the fraudulent elector scheme. They're out there talking to people, encouraging, doing their part, helping out. Well, you were helping out trying to, you were helping Ron McDaniel to try to overturn the election, to take away my vote. I don't think George Stephanopoulos, doing what he did supporting the Clinton administration, was trying to take away my vote or overturn the election results. So I make a distinction.
Between hiring of Stephanopoulos and the hiring of the Rona McDaniel, don't call her Romney. And you think it was okay to hire Stephanopoulos?
Well, I was no. At first, I was not. I was not done with it. I think, you know, and again, it comes up to it, obviously the determination of the Fourth Estate, NBC, CBS, any of the big journalistic outfits. They make those calls, and they make those calls for a variety of reasons. Some of which we may know, some of which we may not know. But ultimately, it comes down to the consumer of the media, to us, to the listeners, to the viewers. Is the person that the journalistic outfit is presenting, are they credible? Have they been credible? Do you believe what they're saying now? Do you believe what they were saying then? How does that impact the actual news organization itself? How does it make you? I mean, so you know, if you don't like it, here's the real answer: you click, turn it off. That's your answer. George Stephanopoulos, I've learned to appreciate over the years. I think he asks good questions. He does good follow up questions. I appreciate that. He's a short guy like me, and I think Psaki's doing a good enough job.
Well, she's tiny, like you.
But, you know, and be it on the right or the left, if you're going to bring, it's one thing to bring spinners in, it's another thing to bring liars in.
Come back. I wasn't clear which one you were going to be when we partnered up those many years ago. Devil's Advocates, you can be a part. Never lie. Nothing but 100% truth right here. 844-967-2789. I admit, I'm really not a big fan of the heavy metal. Just not as cool as you, I guess.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open 844-967-2789.
Dominic, Rona McDaniel, McDonnell, not Romney, got lambasted by Chuck Todd immediately after her very first appearance on the network with Kristen Welker. And Welker's the new host of Meet the Press, right? And he's the old host of Meet the Press. Apparently still has the relationship, still paying him NBC, just not hosting a big Sunday show. A little bit of the coverage from Politico, Jack Schaefer. As if responding to an alarm setting on a cosmic biological clock, the press and its mind are set to a ringing and clanging bloody murder of the weekend as NBC News moved Rona McDaniel, the recently sacked Republican National Committee chair, to a paid gig in its studio. The hottest criticism took place on NBC News' own Sunday edition, Meet the Press, after McDaniel made her first appearance. When Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, former hosts, laid down a barrage of verbal spitfire, NBC news bosses owed the current host, Kristen Welker, an apology for foisting McDaniel on the show, Todd said. I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. I often wonder if Dom's worried about messing up his contract here. Yeah. It was a remarkable risk, man. It was a remarkable 2 minutes and 21 seconds of television. First, because the first law of journalism was violated by allowing the program itself to become the story. We've done that occasionally, Dan. We make and break the rules of journalism around here. And second, because it put a glaring spotlight on one of the fundamental flaws embedded in a modern news ecosystem, and the cable news in particular, the toxic revolving door between political operatives and mainstream media. Why did the McDaniel hiring blow up on a full-scale conflagration for NBC News, unlike some other episodes that quickly faded away? Once again, thank Donald Trump. The press has struggled on how to cover Trump since his first launch presidential. He first launched his presidential candidacy in 2015, all the way through to 2024. It also hasn't forgotten Trump and his lieutenant's constant attacks on journalists.
Yeah, enemy of the people.
As another Meet the Press show host, Kimberly Atkins-Storr, told Welker, McDaniel's credibility was shot, adding accurately that McDaniel habitually joined Trump in attacking the press, members of the press, including this network, in a way that put journalists at risk, in danger. And we've got this sound. We've got Chuck Todd. And I've never seen him do anything admirable in all of his media career. I mean, he even loses control with Ron Johnson. Recall when Chuck Todd had Ron Johnson on, and we were still having Ron on at that time. And we had a better interview with Ron, like 45 minutes in studio, the same week that Chuck Todd just lost control to his nutball guest. But anyways, Chuck Todd lambasting NBC News. I hope it's worth the listen. Play it for the people. About a minute's worth. Indulge us. Rich, drop it.
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News's credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News?
Well, she brought them a presidential debate, them. Let's not forget when Ronan McDaniel partnered with NBC to bring a Republican presidential debate to a primetime, big-time network. That's not cable news. That's NBC. What'd she deliver? Well, she delivered before she ever got the job. She delivered a presidential debate, Tom. That's why she got the job.
The Political article goes on to point out many, many other politicals hired over the years. Fox News Channel, for instance, Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, Karl Rove, John Kasich, Dana Perino, Ben Carson. Also, Diane Sawyer to CBS, Chris Matthews to MSNBC, Scarborough MSNBC, Tim Russert NBC, so on and so forth. There's a lot of it. Van Jones to CNN, Al Sharpton MSNBC, Bill Bradley to CBS, Lawrence O'Donnell to MSNBC. Mick Mulvaney to CBS, Lewandowski to CNN. Oh, there's someone.
Well, that was a
hear
terrible
about.
Decision as well.
So there's some work out better than others, and again, it's up to we gotta. I get what they're trying to do. You want to draw an audience. You want to get people in. You want to because business and politics sometimes don't mix, and a lot of folks I talk to sometimes don't want to talk about politics because they don't want to like piss off half of their customer base. You know what I mean? If you're providing a good or service, why would you do that? But so they want to, as a media organization, want to present all, but I'm not sure there's all sides to a bunch of lies, man. A bunch of lies. There's not. So when you bring them in, I think it harms the news organization's credibility. And I think it does no service to the audience, to Chuck Todd. And I would also like to have the NBC brass apologize for Chuck Todd. I mean, Tim Russert was amazing. Chuck Todd, that was terrible. I'm sorry, Chuck. You and your goatee like Crudy? No. You didn't follow up questions, getting railed and run over? Not great. Not great. So I'll accept their apology with that hire as well.
Why are you trash talking me? 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, welcome. What do you got for us, Paul?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Nice show today. First of all, thank you, Joe. I had the pleasure of meeting her at the Jade Monkey. Great lady. She always brings her on when she calls in. My biggest fear with Trump is not winning the popular vote, because Biden will win that. It's the way the Electoral College is set up. Anything can happen under that scenario. And as far as the lady, I can't think of her name, but isn't she Mitt Romney's niece? And then with that, I'll be
yes.
quiet here.
Romney McDaniel. She dropped the Romney because, you know, Romney's a rhino in the RNC. So she had to lose her own family name, sell her own family down the river to be acceptable to the powers that be at the
totally
RNC.
Totally wrong. You're absolutely wrong. She didn't have to. She chose to. And that tells you everything you need to know.
We are the Devil's Advocates. Well, we got more show. We better tell them more. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Remember when Reagan pulled that out near the end of the cycle? You don't remember. You don't remember what happened. What'd you have for
Ronald
lunch,
Reagan, man, he saved us from the terrorists. Yeah, I remember Ronald Reagan. I was like 9 years old when he freed the hostages. And then I got old and I read and I realized that was all bunk. So, yeah, I remember Ron.
What'd you have for lunch, Dom? You know how I persuaded chicken. You through the course of what? The years? You know, I tell you I'm filling in the memory gaps that you have, but I'm helping to slant your memories a little to the left each and every time. You know, as I remember them, I just tell you, no, it really happened a little more left than you recall. See what I've done?
In my heart, I was right, but the facts tell me otherwise. Of course, for the Devil's Advocates, come back 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition, a happier happy hour rolling through it, taking plenty of your phone calls this hour, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, Dom. I'm calling it the White Wealthy Privilege Edition. Donald Trump, he gets a lot of the benefit of the doubt, I would say. But the question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? First asked by Reagan, right? And Donald Trump starting to ask that one as sort of a campaign follow-up. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? You should vote for me. Except, you know, empirically, the answer to almost everyone's question, were you better off 4 years ago than you are today, is hell no. Not really. Not in March of 2020, man. The pandemic was just about to kick this nation's ass. Jennifer Rubin. Other than Trump, virtually no one was doing better 4 years ago. At the Washington Post, Donald Trump remains convinced that he was the greatest president ever. That doesn't mean voters should participate in collective amnesia. President Biden needs to refresh their memories on a daily basis, making the case, of course you're better off now than 4 years ago. Crime. We talked about crime. We hear it on the Foxy News and on the lips of the cultist MAGA people. As Biden recently recalled, in 2020, before I took office, the prior administration oversaw the largest increase in murders ever recorded. By contrast, FBI data report last week shows, and NBC News noted, but be careful if it's NBC News, less trustworthy than they used to be, dumb. The fourth quarter number showed a 13% decline in murder in 2023 from 2022, a 6% decline in reported violent crime, and a 4% decline in reported property crime. The biggest factor behind the drop in crime, NBC decided or reported, may simply be the resumption of anti-crime initiatives by local governments and courts that had stopped during the pandemic, in large part the American Rescue Plan, made possible with a massive $15 billion infusion to keep police on the payroll and to fund a raft of safety initiatives. Well, crime's down, Dom, but that's not what they tell you on the Fox News. What about healthcare?
Crudy on the healthcare issue. Let me get to it here from the Washington Post. Jennifer Rubin. If the comparison regarding crime is unfavorable for Trump, the comparison on healthcare is simply devastating. A couple of headlines from 4 years ago this month as a reminder. Quote, at least 80% of Americans are under stay-at-home orders, CNN, March 31st of 2020. Trump declares national emergency over coronavirus, March 13th of 2020, from CNBC. In spring of 2020, New York already had 200,000 reported cases. The Johns Hopkins COVID-19 dashboard reported at the end of 2020, quote, there have been 19,228,424 confirmed COVID cases in the United States since the beginning of the pandemic and 334,116 deaths. As a side note, Biden's 2024 campaign has cut an ad recalling a few of Trump's self-congratulatory comments during the crisis. I remember those. I don't take any blame at all. We've done very good. Rubin goes on. By the time Trump left office in January 2021, KFF reported the number of deaths from COVID-19 increased so rapidly that it's clearly become the number one cause of death in the U.S., with an average of more than 3,000 people per day dying of COVID-19. Meanwhile, Trump attempted to repeal the Affordable Care Act, a move that would have deprived 32 million Americans of coverage by 2026, according to the CBO, and allowed insurance companies to resume exclusion of pre-existing conditions. Now, he periodically talks about cutting Medicare, only to later reverse himself when criticized. By contrast, President Joe Biden revived ACA outreach, lowered the cost of coverage under the exchanges, and thereby reached a record high of Americans with insurance coverage. In August, the Department of Health and Human Services reported that the national uninsured rate reached an all-time low of 7.7% in early 2023. Approximately 6.3 million people have now gained coverage since 2020. In addition, the Inflation Reduction Act capped insulin prices for 4 million older adults at $35 per month. 4 million people, $35 a month. The IRA also empowered HHS to negotiate drug prices for an expanding list of medications under Medicare, a measure that will save approximately $98.5 billion over 10 years, according to the CBO. I mean, all those poor pharmaceutical companies, I'm not going to pay their quarterly dividends. They can't charge $400 for insulin, Curdy. I mean, times are tough.
Well, the question of the moment, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And first, Donald Trump started asking the question. And I believe the Joe Biden campaign has begun asking that question as well, because empirically, if you look at the numbers, yeah, you're all probably doing better than you were 4 years ago. Including on the economy, Dom. It's all about the economy, stupid, right? In comparing economic records, one could look back 4 years at the single month of March 2020. Total non-farm unemployment fell by, employment fell by 1.4 million jobs of March 2020 and a staggering 20.5 million jobs in April. So that's what, about 22 million jobs lost over 2 months, Dom? It's a lot of jobs. A little bit more. All those jobs have been restored and millions others created. That'd be under Biden, Dom. Alternatively, consider the dramatic contrast between economic conditions when Trump left office. If you didn't know, the unemployment rate then, under Trump, 6.3%, with a 3.5% decrease in gross domestic product in 2020. And the current economy, unemployment at 3.9% and a 2.5% increase in gross domestic product for 2023. So Biden comes out ahead as well on manufacturing industry. More than 420,000 manufacturing jobs added since Biden took office. The stock market, Dom, with all-time highs recently for both the Dow Jones and the S&P 500. The U.S. stock market's strong start in the year has boosted its overall gain under President Biden, with the S&P 500 benchmark now up 34% since his inauguration, compared with 6% increase under Trump at this stage in his term. Biden also did what Trump never could, pass a massive infrastructure package and help shore up supply lines in chip manufacturing. Now, inflation is a different story. Inflation spiked from a 1.4% annualized rate when Biden took office to more than 6%, but has settled back to 3.2%, and that shortcoming comes with a caveat. Real wages, those adjusted for inflation, are up, with particular gains at the low end of the income scale. So certainly American voters could consider other factors when assessing whether they're better off today than they were under the Trump administration. The Trump-installed radical conservative Supreme Court majority inflicted incalculable harm to women and the entire medical field by overturning Roe v. Wade. Trump also incited violence at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Some forget them. Politicized the Justice Department, damaged U.S. alliances, and conducted a nonstop assault on objective truth and civility. F your feelings! While fostering a surge in hate speech and social media toxicity. Put simply, Jennifer Rubin concludes, Trump loses by every important measure in comparison with the president. Biden should be delighted to stack his record against Trump's. Were you better off 4 years ago? Hell to the no.
Well, I mean, gas was 217 back then. It's amazing when your GDP drops by over 3% and millions of people are laid off. Apparently, we don't, you know, burn as much fuel. 217 a gallon. See, Bidenflation. And also to some of the statistics. Obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic at the end of
Trump's turn.
Reign. Right. So when you know Joe Biden gets a 34% increase, in, you know, come on. But the point is we're higher now than we were even prior to COVID, and that's the benefit. And we're investing in infrastructure. Those are good things. I mean, this is a great point. Inflation's a thing, but I'll take all the others and a little bit more, and it's coming back down. They're doing their damnedest. And hopefully, according to the Fed, we'll have a look at like perhaps up to 3 reductions in the interest rates this year.
Oh, I'm not counting on that either. 844-967-2789. You're such an optimist these days. Ross from Middleton, welcome. What do you got for us, Ross?
Hey, Ross.
Hey, guys. Hey, today's show is interesting because it's fun to listen to you guys kind of butt heads. I'm better off. I'm a retired guy. I'm better off. You know, it, for me, it's my retirement. Part of it's with, whatever you want to call it, the stock market or the investment fund. So I'm better off. You know, I mean, my mental health bills are much less than it was from 2016 to 20. I'm not paying as much of my psychiatrist. Quick change of subject. With the April 2nd referendum turnout, off-season kind of election, I'm guessing that they're going to get voted down, and I think it's because the never-Trumpers, the ones that used to be very disciplined about voting, I mean, the turnout used to be really solid for the Republicans. I'm wondering if these guys are going to kind of lay back. I feel like Trumpers are really good if Trump is on the ballot, but on these off-season elections, I don't think they're turning out for a referendum. And so I'm kind of guessing that Madison and hopefully Milwaukee, a few of these other cities, I think will have the referendums get beat.
Ross, I'm going to cut you short only because your phone's kind of breaking up on us. You talked about the turnout on April 2nd. Let's not count our chickens before they hatch. While I certainly appreciate our listeners, especially those on WMDX and WAUK, you know we are the turnout machine over here, Ross. But here's the problem. What are you voting for? You coming out to vote against a referendum? Now, if you're in Milwaukee and you care about the public schools, there is a big referendum on the funding, ongoing funding of Milwaukee public schools. It's a big one. And you should pay attention. You should start getting yourself informed on the topic if you care about the school districts in Milwaukee. But Ross, here's the problem. Effectively, Trump is on the ballot right now. It's a spring primary. If you are a Trumpster and you want to come out and show just how Trumpy and Trumpster and how orange to the core you are? Well, you do that by voting in a primary. And there could be some oppositional vote coming out. But I would say the Nikki Haley sort of, you know, old school Republicans, they're the sort of people that these constitutional referendums appeal to. I was less concerned about the overturnout of mega voters for a presidential primary on the Republican side, voting down the ballot on these referendums. They don't know. Yes, no, they're not really paying attention unless they're being fed this information by right-wing talk radio, Dom, which of course we know some will be.
Of course they are.
844-967-2789. LA Tom, how you doing, fellow? Welcome back.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, first off, we the people, otherwise known as the government, we must never forget that. Second, yeah, hell yeah, we're a lot better off now than we were 4 years ago. Just like the one guy was just saying, just the psychological part of it more than anything else, just the idea of I'd much rather have Joe Biden's hand on the button than Donald Trump's. And I'd much rather have...
Donald Trump failed at his empathy? I mean, if something about Joe Biden, if you can knock the guy for whatever you want, but the guy certainly can has empathy for humanity. Trump's forced efforts fall way short.
Oh, 100%. But like I said, the every day of wondering or not if what the newest drama is going to be, what the newest tweet's going to be, what the newest this is going to be, it is so nice just to be able to have a little bit more of a calmness and stableness and, you know, that than what we had. And if Trump gets back in there, it's going to be 1,000,000,000 times worse than what it was, because now he knows the job and he's only going to have people that are going to say yes to him no matter who they are.
1,000 times worse? How can you say that? You know you're going to get a tax cut, don't you? Don't you, Tom? won't it all be worthwhile?
Global pandemic? Let's give them a tax cut.
Internment camps, tax cuts. More Devil's Advocates. And a tax cut, perhaps. 844-967-2789.
I'm going to walk all over you.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now, 844-967-2789.
You know, Dom, there's another reason I might be a little bitter. I hurt myself this weekend.
What'd you do?
I was up at the lake. I was trying to lift some pier into the water, you know, because the ice is gone. And I got this bright idea because I got this aluminum pier. As you know, I've complained a lot last summer about the expense of the aluminum pier, but it's got rollers on it, you know, and you roll each piece in. But I only want to roll that very first piece in. It's like 16 feet of pier. I just wanted to see if, you know, my guests for the weekend, my in-laws were up at the cabin. So I wanted them to be able to, you know, step out safely up to 16 feet from shore. And it had snowed, and there was a little slickness to these heavy aluminum things. And I've either badly strained or perhaps torn a tendon or a muscle in my forearm of my left arm. I can't even, like, lift a clothes basket. You know,
are you sure you're not having a heart attack?
No.
Okay.
No, that's she's back. One. It's working again.
Okay, good.
Working with you though,
careful,
has
man, Crudy, you're getting old, man. You gotta warm up before you do those things. Manage it. Did you do any calisthenics or yoga or maybe
like some
push up
forearm stretches? No.
Something.
No. You know, it what? Just kind of slipped out of my hand and then it and then all weekend I was miserable. Mostly. Oh. Actually, everyone else was miserable. I was okay, you know, but all my complaining sort of carried over, you know.
Well, you know, you gotta share that thing. You know, you can't
misery loves company. That's what they say. You can't be miserable. Sure,
exactly. I think you're supposed to take all that angst and put it in a tight little ball and shove it down your throat to the deep pit of your stomach and wash it over with copious amounts of booze and weed, and that'll take care of it all.
One more of everything.
Doctor is in.
844. You're like Frasier. You're like my radio therapist.
I'm listening.
844-967-2789. I watched an episode, maybe two, of Cheers this weekend.
Oh, it's still good.
Oh, it is. It is damn funny stuff. Anyways, let's ask the audience.
Are you better off?
We're 4 years ago. I mean, honest answers and simple math. Better or worse? 844-967-2789. Mark from the sack. Welcome back. You know, other than my forearm on my left arm, I'm worse off than I was on Friday before I tried to lift the pier, but otherwise better off.
Hey, Mark.
Well, yeah, hey, I'm better off. And as far as Trump being so Christ-like, when we see Trump scourged the way Jesus was on, you know, before they crucified him, I'll believe that Trump is actually has anything in common with Jesus at all. That would be a pay-per-view that maybe I'd pay for that. But it's just sad that he's able to get away with this stuff.
The crucifixion of Trump?
What do you want here, man? I'm not sure what you're asking for, Mark.
I'm not saying crucify the man. I'm just saying maybe a good paddling maybe on pay for you rather than actually scourging the man. But he probably like that too much.
Well, it's gonna be an OnlyFans page, you know, him and Stormy during Shark Week. Thanks for the call, man. I'm glad you don't want to see Trump literally crucified on pay-per-view. That would be a little morbid.
According to the Raw story, one of my favorite sources, Dom, Trump shared a post comparing his hush money payment prosecution to Jesus's crucifixion, you know, because it's Easter
only
week.
The same. Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
When Christians ask, what would Jesus do? The answer doesn't usually involve authorizing hush money payments to cover up an affair with an adult film star. Despite former President Donald Trump seems to believe that comparisons between himself and the savior of the entire Christian religion are apt. In a Truthy Social post on Monday, Trump shared a message he'd received from a supporter that drew a direct connection between Trump's multiple criminal and civil trials and the fate suffered by Christ more than 2,000 years ago when he was put to death by being nailed to a cross.
Allegedly.
And worse, it's ironic that, I don't know if I should do the Trump voice here. I'll just read.
You're talking about this is the person. So what, he kind of retweeted someone's comments to him? Is that what how it all went down?
It's ironic that Christ walked through his greatest persecution the very week that they're trying to steal your property from you, the supporter wrote, referring to the attorney general's office potentially seizing Trump's properties to settle the massive $450 million plus fraud verdict. Now, I would point out, you know, they've conflated this crucifixion with the hush money scandal, but it's really more about the civil forfeiture scandal, if I understand correctly. The fan then quoted a Bible verse to illustrate their point. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause in return for my love. They are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. You know, speaking on behalf of Trump here, I guess. Thus, they have rewarded my evil for good and hatred for my love, set a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Apparently, Dom, despite the comparison, there's no section of the Bible in which Christ authorizes hush money payments to mistresses, fraudulently misrepresents the values of real estate assets, or incites a deadly riot in an effort to remain in power after losing a presidential
election. It was one of those
chapters
that they later took out. I got one memorized, Crudy, Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Don't get all medieval on my ass here. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I think I got Mark Pocan scheduled later this week. Which day? You don't know. You got to tune in every day and find out. Thank you all for listening. The Busted Pencils comes next. Be well. Keep listening. And, you know, take heart from the fact Dom's claims that, you know, $175 million is still a lot of money, but I think it's truly a white, wealthy, privileged Monday. Thanks for being a part.
Thank you, Rich.